Father and God, we look to you to deal with us according to your grace and your mercy and your goodwill for your glory, just because you're you. And our God, we're going to thank you anyway. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. You would recall, if you would, going back in history, Israel was in the land of Egypt. God, in his providential management, rescued them, and they ended up in the wilderness. In order to get to the wilderness, they had to have a transition, a passing over. And in the passing over, they had to go from Egypt across the Red Sea to the wilderness. Once they crossed the Red Sea, they had went from Egypt, the Egyptian side, as it were, to the wilderness side. And they were no more in Egypt. And they were on the right side, God was leading them. But in the wilderness, they longed to go back to many of them, longed to go back to Egypt. The wilderness was different. They were not familiar with it. They were not comfortable. And they wanted to go back to Egypt. They couldn't go back to Egypt. But they didn't enjoy being on the right side in the wilderness. God led them in their unbelief in the wilderness, took care of them as a shepherd, caring for their every need. And then at the end of 40 years, as it were, God had another transition to make for them. And they were to go from the wilderness to the land. And they had to cross the Jordan River. If they didn't cross the Jordan River, they'd stay in the wilderness. So they had to cross the Jordan River to get into the land, a promise to God's goodwill for the nation of Israel. And in going into the land, some of them, wished they could stay in the wilderness. But they were now in the land of promise. They had to be in the right side of the wilderness, that is, in the land. Anywhere, they stop in the transition, they stopped, they would lose out. God didn't mean them for the wilderness, they had to go through it. God didn't mean them for Egypt, God didn't mean them, mean them for the wilderness, God meant them for the land. They have to get into the land, they have to make the transitions to get there. If they don't, the whole wonderment of the promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would be for nothing. God promised them the seed and the land. If they don't go to the land, then the promise falls flat in its face. God meant a promise, God gave a promise, and it was meant to be fulfilled. Now, so they're losing out if they don't cross the Red Sea. They're losing out if they don't cross the Jordan. Over here you are in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, perhaps. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you will recall, if I may start, in verse 2, by which also you were saved, if you keep in memory, that what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain, for nothing. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, the gospel, the good news, of all which I had received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. So, the gospel is the good news about a wonderful person, our Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, we said, an easy way to remember that, if you would, is the content of the glass is water. The content of the Bible, the content of the good news, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible brings it to us. What does it bring? The good news. What is the content of the good news? It is the wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, keeping that in mind, so, God, you gave that good news, and that is good news that we have. The gospel, for Hebrews 4, was preached unto them, but they didn't believe, and they ended up in the wilderness, etc., etc. God, here we are, we have the good news. That is, involves the person of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, according to the scriptures. Now, in order to apply the Jordan, Red Sea, and the Jordan, what are we going to do with the gospel? Over, if you would, please. We say the word, we use the word. How do we appropriate it? Over, please, to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. And I'll move right along, but you'll catch the flavor of it, I hope. Transition. If you don't make the transition to where you're supposed to go, you miss out. You never have it. Never have it. There are two T-double-O, too many professing believers that have never arrived. That's not good. That's why when you come to the end, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Peter, Jude, Revelation, what is all that? It's all about apostasy, Hebrews, about apostasy. It means people didn't make it. They could have, but they didn't. They just didn't do it. Way back then. Now, God, help us. Therefore, chapter 16, Matthew, you remember the Lord was going and asking his disciples, who men said that he, well, I'll read verse 13 directly. When Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, and all one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but I don't want to know now what you think they say. I want to know what you say. What do you say? Whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter went and answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonas. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So Peter was able to use the, God used the mouth of Peter, the mind of Peter, but he didn't understand. He said something he just didn't understand. He said it. And remember back, if you want to go way back, remember Job? Job said, you know, I said all kinds of things about you, God. They weren't bad. They were good. But I said you were great. I never realized how great you were. I said you were good. I never realized how good you were. How gracious. I never realized. Things too wonderful for me. I didn't understand them. God, here we are looking. And Peter is going to say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, over to verse 21. The Lord Jesus is going to add, in the light of who he is, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must, M-U-S-T, compulsory, go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests and scribes, be killed, be raised again in the third day. According to the scriptures, death, burial, and resurrection. This must happen. It is absolutely necessity to happen. Now what? Having said that and keeping that in mind, then, Peter, do you understand the statement you made? No. Do you understand, Peter, what he just said to you? Peter, he said, you need to understand that I'm going to go to the cross. Now, verse 23, verse 22. But then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. You shall not go to the cross. There's no need. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense, a stumbling block unto me. For thou savorest not, you do not favor the things that be of God, but those that be of men. So here you are going and looking, and you're looking, Peter, at everything from a human level. Do you understand that you can't? You must understand. I came to be, my death, burial, and resurrection is a necessity, an absolute necessity. Now, over, if you would, to chapter 26. Now, Peter didn't understand. You don't need to go to the cross. Don't need to go to the cross. Chapter 26, and in verse 30. And when they had, this is in the upper room, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. Why is that? For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. See? Do you understand, Peter? Do you understand? No. Do you understand? Did you know who you were? No. He had to go to Jerusalem. Peter, do you understand? He has to go to the cross. Has to go to the cross. Do you understand that? No, he didn't really grab that. In fact, he said that was not in his mind, in his world, acceptable to go to the cross. Over, if you would, please, and remember what they're going to do. Verse 34, you know. Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times. And he did. He denied the Lord three times in a row. He knew the event of the cross. He knew it, but he did not understand. He did not understand it. He didn't understand it. He's on the wrong side of the cross. Cross is an absolute necessity. That's the good news. They don't understand. But that is the good news. If I'm on the wrong side, I believe the gospel and Christ died. I'm on the wrong side of the cross. I don't understand. I don't understand that I died on the cross. You see. I got he died, but I don't understand. I died. He took you. You took him to the cross. He went for you, us, all humans. He took us to the cross. We died. I'll bet you that if you asked a number of people that say they're believers about the cross, they'll say Christ died for us. I'll bet it's not very much in their mind that they died. The gospel means that I had to die. The good news is I had to die, and Christ was my perfect substitute. Do you know, I know a lot of people who haven't got past that. They don't understand that they caused him to die. They caused him to die. He died for them. That's the gospel. They're on the wrong side of the gospel. I can say, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God, but you don't understand what you just said. You don't understand it. That's right. Now, hang on. Hang on, if you would. Now, in the light of that, going down, and you know what they're going to say without taking time. Well, read verse 37. And they took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. He saith, and he's going into the garden now. He's into the garden, and Peter is going to go with him, but he doesn't understand. Peter into the garden of Gethsemane before the cross. Verse 38, Then he saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could you not watch with me 1 hour? So here's Peter. Peter's there, always trying to be there, always going to be committed, but he's on the wrong side. He doesn't understand if Christ must die for Peter. Peter, you must have me go to the cross. Otherwise, you are dead in trespasses and sin. I must go. The penalty must be paid. Peter was trying to avoid that condemnation, that criticism, that in me dwelleth what? No good thing. We don't want to hear that. We don't want to think that that is necessary, that God would come and have to die for just you and me. That's too hard for us. And practically speaking, we're on the wrong side of the cross. So we never know that. We never get that. They haven't got there. And therefore, you can understand in part what's going on a little bit. Now, in the light of that, over please to John chapter 19. Gospel of John chapter 19. And in John 19, picking up, please. Oh, the thought. Remember now his resurrection. And if I may, going and verse 27. Then saith he to his to the disciple, that's John, Behold thy mother, that's Mary. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. So there's a whole new responsibility. For John, and verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now therefore was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it in his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, and is finished. He finished his wonderful work on the cross. And the cross was finished. They took him down from the cross and buried him in that tomb, as it were, behind the rock, behind that 8,000-pound rock or so. And in the process, so therefore he had to die, that's right, and they buried him. Now, you need to be on the right side of the cross. I need to understand, I had to go to the cross. And when I go to the cross, I understand that. So if I got that far, let me see the next thing. You know, because it all goes together. There's no way to take the gospel and take pieces out of it. He died, buried, rose again, ascended, seated, at the right hand of God. That's one wonderful movement. One movement. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no way to stop at the second. We do. And thus we never enjoy the full gospel. We don't enjoy it. Because we're always on the wrong side of things. And thus we don't get them. Now, hang on. In the light of that, so they bury him. And in the process, they bury him, and they buried. Now, I need to know that Christ died. He did. And in the process, he died for me. But I need to know, he's finished with me. Is he finished with you? I don't know. Did he die? How many times does he have to die for you? Did he die so that you are to count yourself dead? There's no more sacrifice, no more occasion. What he did is final and settled. He died. Period. All over. It's finished. So now what? Well, I recognize that. I thank God for that. I say that with all my heart. It's finished. But you know what? I'm living here. I'm living, and I realize he died for me. Thank you. Do I have any understanding of forgiveness? No. Do I have any, am I understanding being pardoned, set free from guilt? No. Do I have any peace? No. Do I have any power? No. Do I have any light, like in the light, darkness? No. Do I have any right in the midst of all the wrongness? No. No. Any life? No, only death. Any love? No, no love, no love, no love. Here I am, under the penalty and the power of sin. Christ terminated me, and he reckons and counts me as dead. Now, what have I got? Nothing. Nothing at all. I'm on the wrong side of the resurrection. But I'm sincere. Christ died for me. Yay! But, I haven't got on the right side of the resurrection. I'm on the wrong side of it. Now we got a great body of people that never got past this one. Here they are. Here they are, recognizing in some form Christ died for them. They haven't got beyond that, not beyond it. They're on the wrong side of the empty tomb. Now, Scripture, Gospel, Christ died, was buried, and rose again. Well, according to the Scripture. Now, over, if you would, please. Over to John chapter 6. Gospel of John, chapter 6. Well, we'll even go to chapter 5 and just drive the nail home a little bit. John chapter 5. And if I may go, excuse me, I said John. I did. That was to make sure you didn't lose John. And you need to go, John 6. That's Romans 6. At least I caught that one, didn't I? I mean, sometime. You'd be in the middle of, where is he? Romans 6, 5. Romans 5. Romans 5. Romans 5, 6. Romans 5, 6. For when, God would tell us, make it clear, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's me. Verse 8. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Us. We got the problem. We got the problem. Chapter 6, verse 10. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. So God, here you are, you were crucified, you were buried, and you rose again. That's right. Chapter 8, Romans chapter 8. And you will recall, if I can, in verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So God, here we are looking, and you're the one that was crucified and died, crucified, and you rose again. So Christ, you finished the work, you died on the cross, you took care of the sin, you're able to offer a wonderful pardon, you're able to save us from the penalty of sin, having died. The wages of sin is death. You died the death that I should die. You died that. So I got saved from the penalty and the punishment, as it were. And therefore, I am to be very thankful for the cross. I'm very thankful, our God, that you terminated it. You finished it. You were not going to have any more discussion about my earthly life apart from you. My earthly life apart from you can only be, I confess, God, I need to confess my sin. I'm a new creature in Christ. I need to confess my sin. You are not, I'm coming to you as if I was never saved. I'm coming to you from the wrong side of the cross. Here I am, God, thanking you for dying for me, and I'm still on the wrong side because I didn't get follow through with the gospel. The good news involves resurrection, among other things. And thus in the process. So, God, we're looking to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. And thus, Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We need to be on the right side of the cross. We need to be on the right side of the resurrection. And we can be on the wrong side of the cross. After the cross, but we didn't gain anything because we didn't follow through. We didn't follow through. You have to follow through. And thus, you can have medicine. Medicine's prescribed. Wonderful, wonderful medicine. But if you don't take the medicine, if it doesn't go into your system, assimilate into your system, what good is the medicine? You have it? No good. But you have it, you hold it up, but you're still sick. You didn't get better. Wow. Because you didn't finish it. So here in Luke chapter 24, if I can, please, starting in verse 17, you remember the two disciples on the Emmaus Road, and there, this is after the resurrection now. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these? Remember, they're going heading back home from Jerusalem. He saith unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them said, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? What things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel, Messiah. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. So, God, it's a wonderful thing, and I want you to know, sir, remember they're talking to the Lord, they don't know it. They want to know, do you understand that we put our trust, we did it, we cared, we loved him, and the thing, we just lost the game. We played the game all the way to the end, and we lost. But we're glad we're in the game, and we don't mind telling you we played the game, and we're able to say, if you want to talk to me, yes, I know him. I know him. I knew of his dear deeds and works and wonderment. I knew of him. Past memory, back there. Now, having said that, over, if you would please, to Luke chapter 24 and verse 25. What did he say? Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Did not I tell you what had to be in the light of all the prophetic, wonderful truth that you have? The whole 39 books of the Old Testament. Did I not tell you that? Did you not pay attention? Verse 28. And they drew nigh unto the village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, it's late at night, and the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it. Now that's, remember, that's the host job to do that. The Lord Jesus Christ is a guest in their house, but he acts as the host in the house, and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? He opened to us the scriptures so that we could have them. And we had to pay attention again. What did I tell you? But did you read? Oh, we did read, but we didn't pay attention. Did you understand? No, we didn't understand. So you had to go through all kinds of things. So therefore, here's a whole dear people understood his death, his burial, and they have to awaken to the fact that he's risen again. They have to be on the right side of the resurrection. And if they're on the wrong side of the resurrection, they are not going, if they're on the wrong side, remember, the wrong side of the cross, the wrong side of the resurrection, there is no pardon. There is no peace. There is no future. There is no future. You just read it in 1 Corinthians 15. You're dead in vain. All of it is for nothing if I didn't rise again. If I don't rise again, the whole thing is for nothing. Wow. And you are miserable of all people because you have no future. The future is in who I am. The future is in the good news. I died, was buried, and rose again. Wow. So you've got to be on the right side of the resurrection. Well, you know, we like Romans, you can turn there. Well, no, before you do. Well, hold your finger right here in Luke 24. And go over to Romans chapter 8. Chapter 10, better. Romans chapter 10. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you are not, you if you understand at all, get saved. You understand Christ died, was buried, and rose again. And the emphasis is that he died for you. That's true. Buried, took you and buried you. And he rose again. Now, the cross and the burial is nothing if you don't have the resurrection. Now watch. Romans 10, verse 8. Romans 10, 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh unto thee, even in thy mouth. And in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, okay, and believe in thine heart that he was crucified, You want to understand, if you understand only the cross, you're missing it. He had to die, was buried, and rose again. Therefore, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to get saved, you believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead. You believe in a resurrected Christ. Otherwise, how are you going to get saved? You have a resurrected Christ, a living Christ. That's how you get saved. If you're just believing Christ died and I did my abracadabra and whatever, and I'm all right for heaven. I wouldn't count on that for nothing. Now, I'll read verse 9 again, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And how are you going to have any righteousness if he doesn't rise again? How do dead people get right? They have to have life to be right. They have to have life. He died. He took you when you died and gave you life so you could have a right kind of relationship. And we believe in our heart for righteousness. Wow. Now, back over to Luke 24. You would remember You've got to be in the right side of the cross. You've got to be in the right side of the burial. You've got to be in the right side of the resurrection. You're on the wrong side. You missed the whole point. When you believed in a living God, a living Christ. Here we are, in front of him, standing with him. And thus, chapter 24 in Luke, picking up if I can. Oh, in verse 48, you are my witnesses of these things. 24:48-49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So that's what they were doing. Now, they went, and they were in the upper room, stayed in the upper room pretty much until waited day of Pentecost came, and they stayed there, and they waited, and they waited, and they waited. That's what they're going to do. They're going to wait. Wait there. Tarry, wait. Over to Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, 1:4, book of Acts. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, he, you have heard of me. And so God told them, the Spirit, God the Father and God the Son, going to send the Spirit of God. Spirit of God is absolutely necessity, of necessity. So we have a wonderful life. The Lord Jesus has it. The Lord Jesus took my sin, buried it, and he lives. Wonderful. I have a living Savior. A living Savior. I have a living Savior of you. I have a bulletin. I have a living Savior. I have keys. I have a Savior. He has life. I don't have life. He has it. And if I don't get past the resurrection, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. Everything he has, I don't. And that's the problem. God, you know that. That's right. That's why he would say in John 16, is expedient, absolutely compulsory, that I go away. If I don't go, the Spirit of God cannot come. If the Spirit of God does not come, you got nothing. Is that all right? Because all that I've done is no good to you until you can have it. And I made it possible for you to have. God is going to give you the gift of eternal life that I have made possible. I am the gift. God the Father is going to give you the gift. And the Spirit of God is going to make you enjoy the gift. And if you don't get it from him, you no got it. And you're there plowing away. And you're never going to make it. You won't even make it. I don't know. You have to get past. God help us. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You've got to have power. Dynamite, dynamic power. You've got to have power. If you don't have any power, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Would you go over with me, please, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And if you could travel back in history and all the different groups way back when things were quite different, that was the thing they were looking for, power. The anointing of the Spirit of God, power. You don't hear that anymore. You never hear that. No. That's what they look for. They look for power. They knew God had to make it happen. They were very conscious of that. Wow. That's why they praised and they looked. Why? Because they knew it. God, you have to do it. That's right. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which is saved, it is the power of God. Uh-huh. God. That's right. Cross. You start with the cross. You can't have the resurrection without the cross. You can't have the cross without the resurrection. Verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks a Gentiles foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Gentiles, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ is the power. That's right. He is the power. You shall receive power. How can I have the benefits of the newness of life that you give me in Christ Jesus apart from the Spirit of God? We're to walk in His resurrected life, Romans 6, etc. How am I going to do that? I can't. The Spirit of God makes that happen. That's the gospel. I have to live on that side. I have to live on the right side of Pentecost, not on the upper room. I live over here where it is all transpired and I possess the whole package. So much so that as a believer, Ephesians chapter 2, etc., I am able to say, and so are you if you're a believer, I am seated at the right hand of God. I am seated in Christ in heavenly places right now. I have the whole package. I understand the wonderful thing that you did for me. And it is all summed up. It is all summed up in the gospel. The content of the gospel is our Lord Jesus Christ. When I receive Christ, I want to understand the good news. He took me to the cross. He took and condemned my whole dumb existence apart from Him. From beginning to end. And He gave me, He rose again to give me that which He had that He couldn't give me till He rose again, till He arose. He couldn't give me life. He made life wonderfully possible for me so that the Spirit of God could bring Him into my heart, into my home, His home, and able to, for me to have a wonderful relationship to God. And that wonderful relationship to God is outworked based on the power, the wonderful ministry of the Spirit of God to make all of the promises and precepts, principles, to make all the truth real. I didn't make it real. It is real because of who He is. I don't make anything true, and neither do you. It's simply true because God is true. You can't add anything to the truth. You don't change the truth. You don't have to protect the truth. Truth is always truth. No matter what people say, think, or want. Thus, if you would, over to chapter 2 and in verse 14. For the natural man, 2 and 14. For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And how can you possibly understand the gospel that God could do this unless you believe? And if you don't believe, and if you believe partially, that is, you're on the wrong side of the cross, that doesn't impress people. You're on the side of the cross where you're buried, and you tell him it's a wonderful thing. He condemned me and took all my sins, and I'm dead in sin. But if I'm not alive, what good is that going to do? No, I have to be a living sacrifice. I have to be a living believer looking to God. And that's what the world needs to see. They need to see life. A real person. Really. I'm really real. We're real. God did that. Wow. So now, over in 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, remember now we have, I wish I had time, but do you understand? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we preach Christ crucified. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Verse 5, 2 Corinthians 4, 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, where's the light going? Into where? Into your heart. He shined in our hearts. For what purpose? To give us light in our darkness. He shined in our hearts to give us light, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And how do we understand the marvelous, marvelous grace and mercy and the gospel of God? In the face of Jesus Christ, I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. We do. And in the process, God gives, He is the light of the world. And we are learning to trust and walk with Him. And thus, what are we going to discover? When we will understand, we have arisen, we've received the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Now, what do we know? God. Verse 7, 4, 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency, the superabounding wonderment, the excellency of the power, the dynamic, you shall receive power. The excellency of the power may be of what? Of God and not of us. See? On the wrong side of Pentecost, you're trying to outwork. You don't outwork the life of God. You live the life of God. You don't outwork it. I'm going to be a good person and do better and read my Bible and pray. You can do all those wonderful things. It'll never do it for you. And we've got a whole history, modern right now, all the way back. All you got to do is take a good general overview, let alone being specific, and you'll see its absence. Very rare. Because we're on the wrong side of Pentecost. That is, we haven't taken the life that was meant to be given, and the power that goes with it. God has to help us. So we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Wow. And one other place, if you would. Over to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. All kinds of ways, but just to remind us, if I may. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able, there's your little word, power, ability, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, exceeding beyond, abundant, above all that we can ask or think ever. According to the power, that's like the same word as enable, a little different, but the same. According to the power, the dynamite, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. According to the power that is working in you. And either we're going to trust that and experience it in our daily life, or we're not. And if we don't, then we're missing out, because the Lord Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God in his perfect humanity. And as the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, he's there. And he gives to us, if we'd but understand it and take it, Hebrews 7 and 16, the power, there's the same word, the power of an endless life, I give it to you. The power of an endless life. Where do we get that? In the gospel. How do we get it? On the right side of Pentecost. It all became for me. Books have been written. I know I have lots of books. I'm telling you this. We need, if you want to have something, God give it to you. God, our dumb world is in unbelief, has lost it all. But the truth is true. You don't make it true. You just yield to it and allow it to work. And it works. You don't yield to it, it doesn't work. Simple. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for being able just to be together for a little bit. And God, anyway, here we are. And you have been gracious to me more than I know. God, thank you very, very much for who you are and what you do, what you've done. And God, deal with each heart that they may truly, truly have received you as their Lord and Savior. That they would understand more and more that you were crucified for them, buried, and you arose again to give them newness of life. Your life, not our life, your life. God, thank you very, very, very much. So help us, please, from the young, the old, the weak, the sick, God, deal with us all, here and now, until there and then. God, thank you very, 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 very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. And perhaps we can sing, please, a stanza. 477. 477.